Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to another episode of Journey Back to the Heart. And I have the pleasure of being joined today by Nicole, which is someone that's so out of this world, but also embodies the best of this world, a person that's so dear to me, a person that's so influential. She's a yoga teacher, a brain hacking, mindfulness coach, and all around amazing person. So I can't wait for this conversation. And yeah, Nicole, thank you for joining me. And how do you feel? I invite you to maybe share a couple of words about yourself. Sure. And also, since we're on this theme of journey back to the heart, yeah, we can start by looking into what does the journey back to the heart mean to you? And we'll take it from there.
Amazing. First of all, what a lovely introduction.
Thank you.
I'm so touched. I feel honored to be with you here too. So the feeling is mutual. Journey back to the heart. Wow. When I think about that, I am taken back to a previous lifetime, it feels like, when I was working in corporate in Chicago. And just totally disconnected to myself. I was working a job I didn't really align with. I was so out of my body, working out 6-7 days a week, like really intense workouts because I felt like I needed to look a certain way, be a certain way. And I just was trying so hard to connect with myself, doing everything I could. I was doing sketch comedy shows actually in Chicago at Second City, and which is a famous improv theater place. And I was playing guitar and I was hanging out with friends. I was doing all of these things, yet for some reason I still felt so disconnected. And I feel like my heart and my intuition at some point was like, we can't do this anymore. We need to come back to ourselves. Listen to me. And I eventually had a little wake-up call of, okay, let's travel. Let's go on a journey. Let's search and see what we find. And I feel like that was the heart calling. And it really has been a journey back to the heart for sure since that moment.
Amazing. And you spend a lot of time in Bali, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
That was quite the awakening for you.
Whew, the awakening.
And if you feel called of sharing a little bit of that experience and what did that awaken in you, how did that kind of start this journey for yourself?
Yeah.
What were the opportunities that came from that time there in Bali?
Yeah, when I look back at my Bali experience, it's very crazy to look back and see how all the puzzle pieces fell into place. And it's so interesting because I feel like when you're in the present moment, you're like, why is this happening? Or how is this? What's going to happen? And you're so stressed about how the future is going to play out. But then looking back, you're like, oh, yeah, it had to play out exactly as it did. And as I look back on that journey, I just see all of these things perfectly working out for me. So I quit my job February 2020 and I took a one-way flight to Bali and I got my yoga certification. And the last day of the yoga certification was when the world started to shut down for the pandemic. And I had a choice. I could go back to Chicago where I didn't have a job and I didn't have an apartment anymore, or I can stay in Bali and see what unfolds. And I stayed in Bali and it was just thing after thing after thing started to unfold for me. And it was just magic, like pure awe and joy of how things were just aligning. And I couldn't believe that all of this was just lining up because I had chose myself and because I had listened to my heart and my intuition, opportunities just kept flowing in. And it was that awakening moment. And people always ask me, they're like, well, do you feel like you awakened in Bali because it's such a beautiful place? Of course. And it is. And it is this magical place. But at the same time, I believe that getting the change of scenery was really important for me to kind of get out of the bubble of what I had known and all of the conditioning that I'd known. But it also was a really amazing place because it was this transformation that marked that I had finally chose myself instead of choosing what everyone else wanted me to do. It was, no, I finally made the decision and tuned into what I wanted. And that's why I feel like all of these things started to unravel. And that's where I found an Airbnb and I lived with a therapist, a mental health therapist for 9 months during lockdown in Bali. I had a friend who told me about pranic energy healing, which I had no idea about that before. Similar to Reiki, a little bit different, obviously with the modality, but very similar idea of clearing out negative energy and replacing it with this life force energy, prana. And that's why it's called pranic healing. And she took me to a training and I fell in love with it there. And that opened up so many doors for me. And then my mental health therapist that I was living with, she was like, wow, you have such a gift. We would chat every morning. We would drink tea together. And she was like, you should get a coaching certification so that you can do this, really. And so I don't know if you felt this way in your life, but just seeing the snowball effect of how one thing leads to the next and leads to the next and leads to the next. And I feel like I was really aware of that during my time in Bali, which I was not at all. It felt like my eyes were completely closed, moving through life on autopilot when I was living in Chicago. So yeah, it was quite the journey for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here.
I know, I gave you a lot.
we'll get into it slowly. Yeah, regarding the snowball effect, it's very fascinating how you put it into words. I feel like it all comes down to this trust that we don't have the higher perspective sometimes, and then we can only see up to a certain point. But then it's like, how do I trust that, well, I am divinely guided, and then even though I don't know where the road goes, like, I know that I have to follow that road. And then it's like, well, sometimes the mind will try to keep us in the known, basically, because it's like, well, how about you don't walk in the dark? Because like, it's very hard to protect you in the dark. Then it is this way I got inspired with the name of Journey Back to the Heart, because it's the heart that is basically the guiding light of,
yes,
okay,
always.
When the mind cannot guide us anymore, like, what is my inner lantern? How can I find a way? And it's like through that heart, and it's through that trust. It's through that trust that, okay, we chose this journey and it will lead us exactly where we're supposed to be going.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I cannot see the road, it's like, well, there's a higher aspect of me, a higher self that has the whole view and sees the whole map from up top. And then how can I align to that version of it and then completely trust and surrender that, okay, things are going to fall into place. Things are going to go the right way.
Yeah,
I just have to follow my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you put it, the snowball effect of like, yeah, when you just like let go and you start to go within. Sure.
It's not easy. I think the mind tries to protect us.
Mm.
It's the mind is wired for survival.
Mm.
And so I always give the analogy of if you're back in the day, right, when our ancestors and when if we were getting chased by a bear and we didn't have food, those emotions, that mindset of being stressed and anxious is actually helping you because it's putting a fire under your butt to move or figure out a way to get food. Versus if you're feeling joyful back then, it's like, okay, great. Doesn't matter. And I feel like that comes back to the now is our mind is just trying to protect us. And so our comfort zone, even though sometimes people hate it and they're like, oh, I hate my job and I hate what I'm doing, or I don't like the relationship I'm in. It's like the mind is so accustomed to it that doing something different actually takes an immense amount of courage because it doesn't know anything different. And so it's always, well, the devil, you know. And so can you be comfortable in the discomfort has been my journey of like allowing myself to just free fall and find some kind of comfort in that. And it's difficult. And I think that's why a lot of people stay where they're at or stay in their situation, because it's very scary to take a leap because you have no idea if you're going to fall flat on your face or if the net is going to catch you. And I think it's that is time and time again, I've been reminded that you follow your heart, the net is always going to catch you.
Very so. True. I love how you put it into words. It's very beautiful. Also, I want to go just a little bit back on what you previously mentioned about the pranic energetic healing. And also, we've done a reading together just a while ago, and you were also tuning into each of my energy centers, and that reading itself resonated so much and it opened so much for me. I'm still processing it. And I want to ask you to go a little bit more in depth, if you feel called to, about what was your journey of tapping into your intuition, of opening your intuition, of trusting it, or tapping into this energy work, and how does it feel like working with other people?
Great questions. I'd love to go into it. I'd always known, I used to joke that I had a sixth sense with my friends, and it was never something that I took seriously. Like, I would have visions. I remember I would have a vision. I knew that a friend's mom was going to be at the store that I was going to 10 minutes later. And then boom, right when I walked in, she was there. And I was like, huh, what a coincidence. And I thought everything was just a coincidence. Things that I would think would come true. And I would have these grandiose visions, but I thought everyone had those, you know, like it was never something that in mainstream reality that people were really talking about. It always felt a little bit taboo. You'd see very spiritual people, tarot readers and psychics, and it was kind of this, is that real kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And I had gone to a psychic before I left for Bali, and what she said was spot on about me. She even knew that I was wearing my great-grandmother's ring. And that was something that I hadn't even mentioned to her or anything. And I was like, how would she have known that? Like, it's got to be real. And at that point, I was like, there is something energetically. I just felt a little bit disconnected from it. And I think being in Bali, it's such a magical island that I was doing different, I was getting different readings from people, and I was surrounded by all of these spiritual mentors. And I had three different people, three separate times, say to me, you know that you have healing energy as well. You know that you have a lot of magic and power that you haven't tapped into yet. And I was like, really? Like, are you just saying that? And I had a friend of mine who had went to this healer, and she is psychic and has all of these gifts. And I was like, you know what? I feel called to go to her and just see. And she did a whole reading for me and was like, you have very healing energy. You have a very open third eye. And I worked with her. I studied with her and did a lot of like third eye work. Did a lot of practicing the visions that I was seeing. And I remember after one day of training with her, that night, it was almost like my third eye had exploded and I was just seeing all of these different things. And I felt crazy. I felt completely like, what is happening? I couldn't turn it off. I didn't know what was going on. I was so excited about it. But then I was like, I don't really know how to hone this or use this. And that was a huge journey of really figuring that part of me out. At the same time that I was doing that, a friend of mine was like, let's do this pranic energy healing training. And so I had done it. And that was like helping me hone everything that I was working on with this spiritual mentor into giving me a practice and a technique to really use this skill. And so pranic energy is all about the aura and how everyone gives off energy. Every environment's giving off energy. Every person's giving off energy. So you're constantly in an inner energy interaction with your environment, with other people. And pranic energy healing is basically going into the auric body and just removing out any negative or stagnant energy that's there from the past, from other people, from your environment, and just making room for new energy, for life force energy that you can get from nature, from the ocean, from the trees all around you, the air, and putting that new, fresh energy in. It's almost like changing a filter, right? You just kind of like get some new, a new filter in, some new energy, some new ideas, some new creativity. So I was still really skeptical. I'm going to be honest. I was very like, okay, does this work? Like I deep down, I believed in it, but I think the ego didn't. Like the ego was like, no, there's no way. Like, this can't be real. And from all the conditioning, right? Of thinking that, wow, that's crazy. That doesn't work. That's not real. And so what I did is I hosted my own research study. I took 20, as a small sample size. And this was just to get some, one, it was for me to find the confidence that, wow, what I'm doing is fully real. And two, to give it to the world. And three, to just have some statistics. And I took 20 people and I did a pranic energy healing reading on them, tuning into their chakras, balancing their energy. And then I gave them different surveys before the reading, one day after, a week after, and a month after. And 89% of people said that it shifted something for them, whether that was emotional or physical. One woman had said that she had tons of back pain and it completely shifted that for her. Another person said that they were feeling so just out of whack, like very chaotic in their brain, and they had so much clarity and confidence on their path moving forward. And that was the moment where I was like, whoa, okay, this really truly is real and this can really help people. And whether it's a mindset thing or not, because I also really believe in the placebo effect and the mindset of like what you choose to believe, like your beliefs are so powerful. So if you believe that this is going to help you, then it will. And if you believe that it's not, then it might not. So that was a huge thing that I had studied as well. Like, how much do you believe in energy healing? And it was fascinating because the people who really believed in it got the biggest effects. And that just shows me the power of the mind as well as the power of energy. So it's been quite the journey of this energy healing and honing the craft, honing the skills, because the skill I learned in the training, I've tweaked it a bit to combine it with the clairvoyance and the energy channels and the chakras and made it my own thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's been so fun to be on this journey to figure out, okay, what is the best way? How do I want to give this gift to the world? And so it's been a pleasure that you've got to receive it.
Thank you so much. And that is fascinating. For sure, I resonate a lot with that. And I've been working with energy a little bit as well, regarding crystal work. And yeah, I see things in the same way. So like, for example, when I want to heal something like a trauma with the crystals, what the crystals do is help me kind of bring to surface those suspended energies that are in the body, like physically stored. And then it brings them in the energy field. And then I feel like, yes, from the auric field, like you said, it's so much easier to observe them and then cleanse them. And yeah, everyone has obviously different methods, but I strongly believe that there is I can feel it and I can see that there's an energetic matrix around us that basically like a 3D printer that our physical body is printed through this algorithm that is called the energetic matrix or sacred geometry that is around us. So that is very fascinating work for sure. Also, just to make a parallel from this, since you were mentioning about the placebo effect and you're a brain hacking specialist. If you feel called to, let's dive a little bit into that.
Yeah.
What would you say are some of your kind of favorite brain hacking tips and tricks?
Yeah.
How did that work for you? And also how do you work this relationship between mind and heart, between your intuition and your brain? How do you foster that relationship?
Oh my gosh, so much. We could dive so deep into this if we want. But it's been interesting because I feel like the pranic healing definitely relates to the mindset stuff as well, because our thoughts, we're giving off energy at every second and we're creating thought energy with what we choose to think. And so I always say that our thoughts are actually a choice. Mm. If I were to tell you, okay, think of a purple elephant right now, you probably would.
That's it.
And so if you're able to choose that thought, if you're able to choose all these other thoughts of, oh, I'm not good enough, or oh, I'll never find someone, or oh, I'm stuck in this job, you can also choose a different thought. Mm. And so it's really that choice. But again, as we were talking before about the comfort zone, it takes a lot more energy to choose that new thought because that hasn't become a habit yet. And so I'm really passionate about our neural networks and neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to shift and change. And when I'm such a science gal that before I had gone on my journey of spirituality and energy, I was such a science gal. And then learning all of these energetics, I love fusing the two and how we can energetically change the brain and show up differently to attract in what it is we want. And so I always say you're either strengthening neural networks or you're creating new ones. So that means if you keep thinking the same thought over and over and over, you're strengthening that pathway in your brain to think that thought. It's like if you try a new skill, it's going to be a little bit wonky at first, but the more you practice it, the more you do it, the more it becomes second nature to you. And so my best brain hacking tip that I always teach as the foundation of anything is ultimately becoming aware of what your thoughts are. Because so many people are operating on autopilot that I didn't even know when I was living in Chicago in my corporate job that 95% of my thoughts were negative. I'd wake up in the morning, I'd look in the mirror and I'd criticize my face and I'd criticize my body. Then I'd get dressed and be like, oh, I have no good clothes. And then it was just constantly. And then I'd be at work and I'd be like, oh, I hate it here. And it was just a constant barrage of negative thoughts. And that leads to feeling miserable. And it leads to this downward spiral. And then eventually you just kind of pop and explode of, oh my God, what am I doing with my life? And so that's when I learned, wow, okay, let's actually, what happens if I shift my thoughts? What happens if I actually start to feel better about myself? But it's hard to shift from that without the awareness that that's happening. So I'm always teaching different tips and tricks to really find that awareness of, I always say, like, just spend a day being aware. When you wake up, what's the first thought that you have? When you're looking in the mirror, what's the thought that you have? When you're interacting with other people, like, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking that you're not good enough? Are you just thinking, looking in the mirror and criticizing yourself? So it's that awareness that can start the process of changing it. So you can't really change anything you're not aware of. And then there's a whole process that I have that after you become aware of it, it's starting to shift that thought, which shifts your energy to attract in these things that you want. We could go full in depth of all the things, but ultimately, I would say that we're conditioned to think a certain way from our environment, from our family, from growing up, who we were surrounded with, and how we had to behave in order to fit in and be accepted. And so we have certain thoughts from that. And now it's just a matter of tuning in to, do those thoughts actually represent the person that I want to be? And if not, what thoughts would represent the person that I want to be? And then how do I bridge the gap to actually get to be that person that I want to be? So for example, an activity that I do a lot of brain hacking workshops, and an activity that I do is first we find awareness of our thoughts, and then we talk about, well, what kind of person do you want to be? What kind of thoughts would that person think? And then it's very hard to shift from A to B immediately. So for example, when I was in Chicago, I had thoughts of not feeling good enough and not feeling pretty enough or skinny enough. And so it would be really hard to shift immediately to, oh my gosh, I'm the most confident person in the room, because the brain can't grasp onto that. That's too lofty of a goal. That's too lofty of an affirmation. And so I work with people on finding something that feels lighter, a thought that feels lighter, but almost in that in between. So instead of being like, I'm the most confident person in the room, when really you're feeling not so good about yourself, you could say something like, I accept this part of me, or you find something that you do really like about you. So for me, it was, I really like the way that I can make people laugh. And then I would grasp onto that affirmation and really feel lighter in that. And then it started to broaden, and you could say, okay, I actually am really liking the way that I'm showing up. And then it just snowballs, like we talked about. So it's bridging the gap. It's understanding, seeing where your thoughts are, and then seeing if they're aligned with this person that you really want yourself to be, and then bridging the gap so that you can get to be that person you want to be. I hope that makes sense. It's a lot. I can go talk about this for hours, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give you the little tidbit, but I hope that resonates and makes sense.
Yeah, it resonates a lot. And in my own perspective, I noticed that a lot of these inadequacies come from, like you mentioned, this kind of like outsourcing our worth of not feeling good enough, or comparing it, or like kind of negotiating our worth with the outside world, or feeling how can I fit in, or what does this say about me. And yeah, in this sense, I have the saying that I've always mentioned, that I do feel the purpose, at least for me, for coming here into this incarnation, into this journey, is literally to transcend judgment. Okay, how can I accept myself, and by extension the world, or world being a reflection of my inner world? How can I accept myself? How can I not judge and just allow, accept, and love things the way they are? And I feel like that's kind of a recipe to switching that from victimhood to creator mentality, because then you're not seeing life as a challenge that, okay, I need to survive this. And then it's also like when we look at the tarot, for example, since we're both passionate about the tarot, when we look at the tarot and you look at the Wheel of Fortune, as well, the wheel is always changing, like circumstances are changing, like you cannot stop the wheel, and the only way to navigate it is to start going from the rim to the center. The more you're in the center, the more you're able to like not get dizzy. If you're at the rim and you have all these experiences and all these perceptions, and you take everything in and you allow everything to move you from one direction to another, then it's very hard to navigate it. And then the world does indeed become a challenge, because you're like, all right, how am I going to traverse this? But then when we're able to be in that center space, when we're able to let go of the outside voices, of judgment, of negotiating our worth, and just know that, well, just because we came here, we're worthy of love, we're worthy of receiving, of giving love. It's like, this is my space and I'm worthy of it. And then that helps us be in that center. So the wheel turns, and then we just surrender to it and we flow with it. I really like that analogy of, this card, because it's very representative of the world, how it actually works. And I really love how you put it, that a lot of the times is this thought of not being good enough. So for me, this is what made the first shift, the biggest shift in my expansion, is how can I stop negotiating that with myself? How can I just look at myself for myself worth, and not on the outside?
And that's why I think it's beautiful that it's Journey Back to the Heart, because I think the biggest work is, how do you get the mind and the heart on the same page? Having that's the hard part. It's like your heart is calling to something, and then the mind, it's that ego of that fear, that getting out of the comfort zone. And can you get both on the same page so that you can find that groundedness, so that you can find being in your authenticity, so that you can transcend judgment, all of those things. So I think it's so beautiful. I do a lot of mindset work, but it's also a lot of getting the mind to talk to the heart and letting the heart speak and listening. Sometimes we hear it and we're like, oh yeah, okay. And we keep doing what we're doing. And it's, how can you get the two to be on the same page so that you can resonate at this much greater frequency? It's almost like amplifies you when they're both working together instead of contrasting each other.
True. I have this association that I like to use in the tarot. When you look at the sword, right? And the sword is this element of creation. And the tip of the sword is the one that's like actually creating, but then you're holding it from the handle. And if the tip is the mind, then the handle would be the heart. So it's like, how can I connect these two to tap into that creative consciousness? How can I use the mind to create, but use the heart to direct it? So then they both work in collaboration.
Oh, I love that. So, that's a beautiful analogy.
Yeah, thank you.
I love that a lot.
So let's talk a little bit about this tapping into creative consciousness. I feel like a lot of the people, and Yeah, I can say a lot of people nowadays struggle with this. They feel a call or they feel something, but it's this idea of how can I tap into this creator consciousness? How can I manifest my goals? And then there's a lot of blocks that are standing in between them. And you are someone that's very inspiring, someone that made that shift of, okay, I'm going to create the life that I want to, and this is how I want to live. And yeah, it's not like I'm surviving life, but I'm creating it in my own image. So then I would like to ask you, yeah, what is your relationship? I know this is quite of a buzzword, manifestation nowadays, but I feel like it's real. I mean, for sure. So then what is your relationship with manifestation? Mm-hmm. And how do you see, what do you see first as the main blockages that most people face when they try to tap into this creator consciousness? And what would you, what would be some advices to kind of overcome, to like our good friend Will mentioned about leaving the rope behind and jumping without the rope, like, okay, trusting, and how to get the universe to work in your favor?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things for sure. Is that one thing that we talked about before was when the heart speaks, the mind sometimes, the ego can go into fear mode of, oh, but we're so comfortable in the comfort zone. We don't want to leave. And by clutching so tight to the comfort zone, we're not actually allowing for anything else to come in. And so something that's really resonated with me and something that I've found that has really allowed for all of these beautiful things to come into my life, and that has allowed me to travel for 4 years without really a plan, and things just start to flow in, opportunities start to flow in, has been this idea of releasing, surrendering, trusting. And I know those are all buzzwords, but it's this having a plan, having an idea of where you want to go, and then letting it go. And so there's a really beautiful analogy that my friend loved to tell me about, and it really resonated with me, and I really held on to this, is the story of a monkey in a cage, and how some hunter would put some bananas in a forest, and then the monkey would go to the bananas, and the hunter would trap it in this cage. And if the monkey had just let go of the banana and trusted that there were bananas elsewhere, he could have just been free and gone about his way. But he was holding so hard onto this banana that he was stuck in this cage in the forest when there's so many other trees around and so many other opportunities. And it's this idea that sometimes we hold so tightly onto a goal, a person, a situation, because we're like, this must come to fruition. I think a lot of people think that that's what manifestation is. It's like this hard work, pushing everything up a hill. And it's having the idea, the vision in mind, but then letting go of how things are going to flow to you. And that's how I've had so many of these different opportunities come into play. And I also think it's really being in alignment of what it is you really, truly want. When you can listen to the heart and talk to the ego, talk to the fear, and allow yourself to let yourself be okay, know that it's going to be okay, that if you do listen to the heart, that's when things start to flow in as well. And speaking about mindset, a lot of times our subconscious beliefs, which we're not even really aware of. If you think about it, there's so much going on in the world at any given moment. We're taking in so much information, so much sensory information around us at every single given second, and we're somehow processing that. And we're only consciously processing about, I think it's like 5%. Don't quote me on that. I have it for the research, but it's some small number. Yeah. And there's a huge number of subconsciously what we're processing. And so when I dove into my subconscious beliefs of what's actually holding me back, when I started to grow my business, when I started to travel, I started to realize there is a part of me deep down that really believed that I couldn't build a successful business. Or if I was going to build a successful business, that I had to struggle and work really, really hard for it. And that wasn't consciously in my mind, but subconsciously I became aware of that. I bridged the subconscious to the conscious. And once I became aware of that subconscious belief underneath all of it, and I brought it to light, then you can start to shift it and ask yourself, okay, well, how is this belief actually serving me? How can I actually counteract this belief and really start to work on the fact that I do believe I can have a successful business? And here's the evidence for it. And the minute that I started doing that and started really, truly shifting deeply rooted beliefs was when, whoa, things started to flow. And so I really believe the recipe is alignment, listening to the heart, the letting go of the grip, having that vision, taking that aligned action, but letting it go and letting things flow in, being in alignment with what you truly want. And then this third thing of really understanding your beliefs, your deeply rooted beliefs, and bringing them to the surface, becoming really aware of them so that you can shift them. And that's the recipe for manifestation, I think.
That's it. Yeah, I really resonate with everything you said there. And it's so interesting, this comparison that you made, how we have this ingrained belief that everything works in direct relationship of like how much hours I work or how much work do I do, this is how much I deserve, or this, it's kind of this direct correlation between the physical work that I do and what I'm basically able to receive from that. And I feel like this is also connected, in my view, with our attachment to the concept of time, that everything has to happen in this amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, obviously this is a very big topic and we're probably gonna cover it at some other point, because I feel like we can spend so much time
we
talking
have
about
hours and hours talking together, I'm sure.
But yeah, in a way I do feel like when we realize that time is just a mind construct, it's just a way for us to measure things. And when we kind of detach from this concept of everything has to happen in direct correlation with time, then, like you mentioned, manifestation becomes basically a process of embodying, of like, okay, what do I want to do? Or what do I want to, quote unquote, manifest in my life? And then it's like, how do I embody that person that is a vibrational match to that thing that I want? And then that will automatically magnetize into my life. Mm-hmm. It's not a process of like, okay, I need to put this amount of work or I need to put this amount of hours. No, who do I want to become for that to be a vibrational match in my life? And I think 100%. That's for everything, not just for careers, but also relationships. When we look at relationships, if you're calling someone in your life, who do I want to be for that person to be a match for me? It's also, always this journey of becoming in that sense.
Totally.
And yeah, the whole journey is like you mentioned, is letting go of everything that doesn't serve us anymore, letting go of all these limiting beliefs of the constructs, the narratives, all the luggages that we keep carrying with us. Because I think I mentioned previously in an episode, and love is all around us and it's not something that we need to chase.
Yeah.
So then the moment we let go of what doesn't serve us anymore, then that space is going to automatically be filled with what is in alignment. So
I love that. I love that. And I used to be really frustrated with the universe, and I would want to manifest something. And then when I didn't, I would get so frustrated. And it was this frustration that was also blocking it. And if I could go back and tell myself that it's gratitude, finding gratitude for what it is you do have. Even if you don't have the thing that you really truly want yet, trusting that that thing is coming by being grateful for what you already have. And I would get so frustrated all the time of like, why isn't this coming? I'm working so hard. I'm doing all the work. And like, why isn't that coming? And it's like that frustration is a block in and of itself.
Exactly.
And so it was having to let that go and really just allow myself to be at peace with what currently is. And that's hard. That's hard to do, but it's that secret sauce that helps the things come in, which is so counterintuitive, I feel like, because I feel like I've been taught, okay, you need to strive really hard. You need to set goals. You need to work day in, day out. And I was doing that and nothing was coming. And I was getting really frustrated. And then the instant that I trusted and expanded and just allowed things to flow the way they did, that's when all of these opportunities started coming in. And sometimes I would be frustrated that those opportunities weren't the exact opportunity that I wanted. And it's been learning that just appreciating everything that's coming in, that's where the true peace lies, versus creating this struggle in our head of, we're not where we want to be yet, or why isn't this coming in? I want it to come in faster. And it's, that's stopping the flow as well. That's sending out the energy of not being grateful for what you have. And that's such a key, is finding that gratitude for everything in this moment. And then it just keeps bringing you more. And you're like, wow, this is just such a gratitude fest of all of these incredible things coming in. And that was such a game changer for me.
It's exactly like you said, the secret sauce, I feel like it is gratitude. And good thing is, like, we all have things to be grateful for in life, no matter what we're going through, even when we're going through hardships. The simple thing that Cora was mentioning, that the simple thing that you just woke up and you're alive today, that's something to be grateful for. So the moment you wake up and you get out of bed and you go outside and you watch the sky, and no matter where you are in the world, but that fact that, okay, I have another day and I'm here, for me, that's the first step to gratitude. And then there's so many more things. When we look at the small details in our lives, we can always find things to be grateful for. Yeah. And I also really believe in this practice for people that resonate with it, to just make a gratitude journal sometimes. If you're feeling you're always judgmental about yourself, start making a gratitude journal and write one thing, two things, three things, 10 things, whatever, like each day. And then that list is going to keep growing. And then when you look back on it, you're like, oh, wow, actually, my life is not that bad. It's pretty good.
For sure.
Like you mentioned, that opens the door for more to come in.
And I think that's where a lot of the mindset work lies, because I'm really passionate about this mindset work, because there's scientific studies, because our brains are hardwired for survival, that it's actually harder for us to shift from the negative to the positive. And it takes our brain a shorter amount of time to shift from positive to negative. And so it might feel like a little bit more work, a little bit more like an uphill battle at first to really shift yourself out of the bad. But that's where the work is if you can consistently show up and work on the mindset, understand where you're at, carve out time for the gratitude, carve out time for the meditation, carve out time to just sit with yourself and see what thoughts you're currently having and just understand yourself, that's where things start to shift and change. But I think it's our minds. Sometimes it's really hard to even carve out 5 minutes to meditate. And if we can gift ourselves that time to really start to shift from the negative to the positive, that's where immense things start to come in, and we attract in all of these beautiful things. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things that I want to touch upon that we mentioned previously. So you mentioned about triggers, and this is something that obviously we all deal with on a daily basis. So I wanted to ask you, what is kind of your process of dealing with triggers, and how important is energy hygiene to be able to navigate life as a sensitive person?
So when I was living with the mental health therapist, her name's Justine Watson. She's absolutely incredible. She reframed it for me as that triggers are just an opportunity for you to heal again, to heal the story on a deeper layer. And I would get so frustrated when triggers would come up, because I'm like, oh, I thought I already healed this. But then I started to find gratitude for it of, wow, thank you for showing me that there are still parts that can be healed. And I think our triggers are just parts of ourselves that we never, if we didn't receive love, or we didn't, parts of ourselves that are calling out for more, and we're able to give ourselves that then. How I deal with it, and as a yoga teacher and as a mindfulness coach, I always talk about that pause. So often we're just going through life, we're going, there's so much happening, something happens, we're triggered, and then boom, we immediately react to it. And what yoga teaches us and what spirituality and mindfulness and meditation is, can you pause and feel what's happening? Sometimes we don't want to feel it, so we just repress it and we just react right away. And in that pause, we can start to notice, okay, what's going on in our body? What's going on in our mind? Wow, why is that triggering me so much? And that pause is the choice of how you're actually going to respond. And it's not to say, oh, push it down, be positive all the time. As a mindset coach, people are like, oh, positivity, positivity. And we don't want toxic positivity. We want to make sure that we're really feeling the emotion in our body, letting it pass through, and then we can change the way we think about it. But it's giving yourself that time to process and have awareness and take a look at yourself. And I think energetic hygiene comes in with that of, again, gifting yourself some time for introspection. Now, you don't have to wake up at 5 a.m. and meditate for hours and hours and journal and do this and do that. But it's, can you give yourself 5 minutes, 10 minutes to just take a look at your interactions, how you're feeling, how the body's feeling, having a yoga practice, maybe when your body's calling out to be alone, giving yourself that time. It's just listening to yourself, ultimately, is the energetic hygiene. And I meditate, I journal, I do tarot, I give myself time, but I always say doing what you feel is best for you energetically. And the biggest thing, I like to call it the joy hour. Is
I love it.
Giving your, and sometimes it doesn't even have to be an hour. It could just be 30 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever you have that day. I strive for an hour every day, and I call it my joy hour, of doing an hour of things that I enjoy. And it doesn't have to be all at once. So for example, I'll spend 20 minutes in the morning journaling, and then I'll spend 20 minutes dancing around my kitchen while I'm making breakfast. And then I'll spend 20 minutes, you know, having a great chat with a friend and pulling a tarot card or whatever it is. It's doing an hour, 60 minutes of something that really lights you up for yourself. And it's that time for you to be introspective or let out emotions or dance it out, sing it out, yell it out, punch it out, whether that's going to boxing or going to yoga or whatever. It's that time for you to connect with yourself, because when you do that, you have a better a chance and better ability to pause instead of reacting.
I really, really, really love that. And I feel like a lot of people are put off by having a daily practice because they do it out of necessity of like, oh, I need to meditate, or oh, everyone's doing yoga, I need to do yoga or stuff like that. What about the joy hour? Mm-hmm. Like, even if you cannot afford an hour, what about the joy half an hour? Mm-hmm. But like something that really like gives you that excitement of going into the practice. Because I notice, and I myself, for example, I do have a non-negotiable morning and night practice, but I always change it around. So like, I like to play around. Sometimes I do cards, like you said, I pull some tarot cards. Sometimes I meditate. Sometimes I just like play my Tibetan bowls, but just something that makes me excited in that day. And I, this is what I encourage people to do. Find something, like you said, can be dancing, can be music, can be meditation, can be walking barefoot, can be anything, but just like that practice that makes you exciting so then you can keep with it. And that is the moment where you're connecting to that inner part of yourself. Totally. And that's how clarity becomes more accessible. And what I really resonate with is how you said about this pause, because when we look at it, for example, when we communicate, when we talk, is what creates, what really creates the reality is the pause between the words. That is what gives us that creation. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at it, when you have an emotion and you take that pause, I feel like that makes that switch from victim to creator. So you're mm-hmm. really tapping into that creator mindset. And this is what the pause allows you to, okay, what do I want to create right now? Which mm-hmm. version of me do I want to create right mm-hmm. now? So I really, really resonate with that. And I invite everyone to, yeah, take a pause and see it as a gift from the universe. Mm. It's like, all right, I'm being gifted this pause. There's nothing wrong with it. Sometimes even when we're driving and we see the red light, how about I take that pause and take a couple of deep breaths and not, I don't know, call in the next moment, but be there in that
Yes.
Divinely gifted force.
Yes. I think in this world, we're so used to everything's quick. Everything's instant gratification. Exactly. Everything's like, you need to respond here. You need to do this. You need to do this. And it's like, we can take a minute to slow down, a second, a couple moments to just be with ourselves. And that is so powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, I resonate with that a lot. I also want to touch a little bit upon, so a big thing for me is intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been born and raised in a very Christian home in Eastern Europe. And this whole idea of, okay, the world beyond the veil of, or tapping into your intuition. It was something that was very, I don't know if the right word is taboo, but something that we weren't really talking about. And then for me, it took a lot of years before I allowed myself to go there. And I started seeing, okay, we actually have that sixth sense, like you mentioned. And I feel like for me, it was also sort of a muscle that, okay, it hasn't been used for so many years, but then slowly starting to use it, it becomes more and more, I can rely on it more. And intuition right now, especially in the work that I'm doing, it's essential, to be honest. And I want to ask you a little bit, what are your kind of advice or for people that are slowly starting to connect to their intuition, to tap into it? How would you describe this word? What's your relationship to it? It's a very buzzword nowadays, intuition. So I want to unpack it a little bit for people that are like, okay, what is that? How can I access it? How can I work with it?
Yeah, for sure. It's funny, when I think back on intuition, I remember a specific moment where I was so in my head about things, and I was like, which decision should I make? And feeling like a chicken with my head cut off. And I called a mentor of mine, and he was like, well, intuition doesn't have emotion. And he was like, if you're feeling stressed and anxious and mad or angry, and you're making a decision out of spite, or you're making a decision out of anger, or you're making a decision because you're just like so elated, like intuition is just a knowing. It's neutral. It doesn't have a positively or negatively charged emotion attached to it. And it's making a decision from that neutral place of feeling into your body, of when you think about a decision, where does your body guide you, or what intuitively, I'm using that word in the sense of, there's a deep knowing that sometimes you can't even explain. And I think the brain, there's different parts of the brain of when you feel something, when you see something, and then using that brain, the speech area of the brain. It's really hard sometimes to describe what we're seeing with our mind or what we're feeling in our body. And sometimes you might not even be able to describe it. It's just this deep knowing in the body that this is where I'm being pulled to. And it's a gentle nudge. You might not feel this overwhelming feeling. Like I had when I was in my job, I had an overwhelming feeling like, oh my gosh, I need to leave. That was a very emotional reaction. But when I think back to that time, it was this gentle knowing of, okay, yeah, let's go travel. And that kept whispering. And so if you've had something whispering for a long time, taking a look at that, listening to what it's saying, and then getting yourself to that grounded place of, huh, what actually would feel good? I know this sounds really silly, but whenever I'm at a restaurant and I don't know what to order, I take a moment and I sit with myself and I imagine the meal in front of me. And I'm like, I tune into the body. How would I feel about having that meal in front of me? And that's how I make my choice, because the intuition is like, oh, actually, I'm being pulled towards this meal versus this. And so I was so out of my body when I was living in Chicago that it was really hard to decipher, okay, well, what's a yes and what's a no and which path do I go? And I think sometimes we're afraid of making the wrong decision. And I think it's just trusting in that little nudge, that little knowing, and then having the trust that no matter what decision you make, you will always figure it out. You're never stuck and you are always constantly making choices along the way. And that's the beautiful thing, is like not putting so much pressure on one decision and just going with what you feel like is right and continuously making those choices as you continue on.
I love it. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. That really paints a beautiful picture and brings clarity to it for sure. I want to ask you, what's your relationship to tarot? How has that come into your life? How do you use tarot? And just as a question, if you look at it in the fool's journey through the major arcana, what would be an archetype that you say represents where you are currently at this part of your journey, or an energy that you're currently working through or with?
Yeah. Whew, that's such a good question. It's funny because, like I was saying before, like I was joking around about the sixth sense and all of that. And I feel like when I was living in Chicago, I feel like I was being called to this healing and spiritual path because little things kept popping up. My sister had bought a deck, or no, my sister wanted me to buy her a deck for her birthday. And I was like, what's tarot? Like, I really had no idea. It was something that was never really in my field. And she had found this beautiful deck that I gifted her for her birthday. And whenever I visited her, we would pull a card together and I was looking at the book and looking at all the different spreads. And that was my little introduction. And then I finally got my own deck and I would pull for friends. And my friend got me a tarot class for my birthday, learning how to read. And it's always just from that point, from buying my sister her first deck, it's always just been in my field. When I lived with the therapist for 9 months, we had a little tarot deck there and I would pull for her every morning and we would just talk about it. And I'd pull for some of the locals that we were friends with and they were fascinated by it. And it's always just been there as my guidance and my little message. Like whenever I need a message, whenever I need a sign, that's the first thing that I go to. And it's never been wrong. It's just always steers me in the way that I need to be steered. And I absolutely love that. And it wasn't until about a year ago that I was called a little bit more deeply to dive into it more, to really learn what these cards mean. And from then, I've just been intuitively reading them for people and being so shocked every single time that it's so spot on for people and it always gives them what they need. And I just think that is such a beautiful thing. As for the archetype, woo, where I'm at currently, the Empress keeps coming to mind for me. And I think it's because she reminds me a lot of femininity, flow, trust, just this badass vibe of this deep trust, knowing, and confidence. And that's some energy that I really feel like I'm tapping into at the moment because I've been a lot in my masculine, authoritative, like, I got to make this work. I got to make this work. I got to do this. I got to structure everything out. And with her, it's just this deep knowing. And I've been doing that a little bit more. I've been flowing a little bit more. I've been trusting a little bit more. I've been changing my beliefs. And that has shifted so much for me. And so I'm like really resonating with her at the moment.
I love the Empress. Such a beautiful card for sure. Going back to what you said about the tarot, when you mentioned that you went more deep into it, just a short question, but did you use any kind of like framework of understanding, or was it purely you meditating or contemplating on the cards and seeing what comes? Or like when you read for people, do you use any kind of structure, like there's the Kabbalah tree of life, or there's different frameworks or symbolics that, that we can associate with cards?
I watched a bunch of videos just about the general meanings of the cards. And then I remember I was just sitting with them, looking at them, and really taking in the picture and the feeling and the colors and what they meant to me and what the main message was. And I'm a Virgo. I'm like so caught up on structure. And so at first I was like, I would read for people and I'm like, what is the specific? What is the meaning of this? And then it kind of got to a point where I let myself be more intuitive with it. And I didn't have to be exactly by the book of what it says. And I tapped it more into what people's energies were. And recently I've been doing a lot more. I've been combining it with the pranic healing of doing the different chakras, of pulling a card for each chakra and combining it, seeing what that message is. And it becomes a really powerful message when I combine it with the pranic healing, my clairvoyance, the chakras, and the tarot. And before that, I was mostly doing like a one card pull for myself or answering questions of what people had. Sometimes I would do a past, present, future, a three card pull. Last year I did a 12 card pull, one for each month for the year. And that was super fascinating because I journaled about it. And now after every single month, I go back and look at what the card had predicted. And then I write the reality of what happened. And I think it's so fun to use tarot in a way that's creative. And it's allowed me to let go of having to be by the book and just do whatever feels intuitive for me. And I think it's a great way. We're talking about intuition. It's a great way for me to express this intuition in whatever the person's needing.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I've also been on the receiving end of one of your readings, and it's been amazing. Like, I totally recommend anyone that feels called of working with you. It has really shifted a lot for me. And wow, like, I'm a tarot reader myself, but seeing how you interpreted the cards and how you work with the energy behind them, I was really, wow, mesmerized.
Wow, thank you.
And also thank you for giving me that opportunity to experiment, like you said, about this playfulness and experimentation of doing that Tree of Life reading, which was very intense and also like, wow, yeah. But since we're on this topic right now, I was meaning to ask you if you feel called, obviously no pressure, if you want to do a reading.
Let's do it. Yeah, we have our tarot cards right here with us. I love it. Yeah, I think I want to pull a card just for a general message. I'm going to tap into like the collective of who's listening here and giving a message for whatever it is that they need.
Perfect.
Yeah. And you want to pull one too? Or you want me to pull for you?
Oh, you can pull for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Just a collective little message here. And so it's interesting because I don't know if you have a way that you pull, but sometimes I let people choose and sometimes I just feel called to the card or whatever pops out. Ooh, this one's coming out.
Yeah, I usually pull them.
Shut up. How crazy is that? I literally was just telling Andre, I'm like, this one's calling to me. And I pulled it, flipped it over, and it's the Empress. So I kid you not. We will have to take a picture of this for...
We will.
But wow, I guess not only me, but the collective is needing this... Just everything we've been talking about. I feel like this really embodies everything we've spoken about of letting go, allowing things to flow, trusting, being so in your confidence, being so in your own power as she's sitting on this red throne, this like deep knowing, this, but at the same time, it's this beautiful royalty of the stars of her crown. There's a little bit of yellow in the background, which is this playfulness, this joy. She's sitting in nature and we're talking about life force energy, just allowing like nature to let things flow as they are, accepting where you're currently at. And she's wearing this beautiful rose gown, just drenched in this jewelry, yellow jewelry that she's wearing. And to me, it's just this deep, for me, it's intuition. For me, it's this deep trust, this deep confidence. There's like a juiciness to her of fully just owning it, owning what it is you want with your life and being able to go for it, giving yourself permission to go for it and just see what happens, that you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have your 5-year plan. I thought I had a 5-year plan and none of it worked out. And so it's just this like allowing, creating space for all of these beautiful opportunities to flow in. Do you have any words about her?
I love everything you said. And yeah, for me as well, whenever I work with the energy of the Empress, obviously it depends on the person, if I read for someone else and the question, but for myself, whenever I pull the Empress, it's this beautiful invitation of how can I expand the limits to what I'm able to give and receive. I look at it from this energy of Venus, Venus being the planet of love, and then I feel like we kind of have this structure, these limits, like we were talking before about the self-worth. So then for me, the Empress is this kind of gentle invitation of, can you relax those structures a little bit? Can you relax those limits a little bit? Can you just allow a little bit more love to come into? And then that love is going to soften everything around it. So
totally.
It's this, yeah, this very, very beautiful, loving energy.
I'm so in shock that I just pulled her. Like, that is so great.
You cannot scream that.
The synchronicities. And people, you can't see that I actually pulled her, but this is for real.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
It's very beautiful. Mm. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, I do feel called of asking you, like you mentioned earlier. Do you want to pull a card for myself?
Sure.
So for me, since we are at this threshold between years, and I'm also at this big threshold in my life. I've been here for 4 months at the lake, and it's been a lot happening. And now tomorrow, I'm leaving the lake, and it's a big transition,
mm-hmm.
and also like the transition between the years, leaving behind the 7 year, which is the Chariot, going into the 8 year, which is the Strength, a different line in the major. So I feel like it's a very, very big threshold. So I want to just see what is that I'm invited to step into at this threshold.
Yeah, transition time for sure. Let's see. Does it tap into your energy? It's interesting because I feel like you're going into a really powerful period. So we have Two of Swords reversed. And so for me, I mean, we're talking about intuition a lot here, weren't we? Is
interesting
that
how the cards come off.
always interesting, always so fascinating. And, you know, I've had skeptics and people say like, oh, well, you can relate. These are just general messages. You can somehow put it into any spin in your life. And it's like, I don't know, every single time I pull a card, it just so resonates within my body. And it's so fascinating every single time when you pull for the specific situation. So two of Swords reversed in the Rider-Waite deck is basically a person in a white robe with two swords that are crossed, and there's a whole body of water behind and the blue sky and the little crescent moon here. And to me, this is a card all about intuition, all about trust. You're blindfolded here, the woman's blindfolded. And with the two of swords, the two for me means there's different paths you can take. And the intuition of trusting that you're trusting yourself to make the choice. And I know we talked about this a ton of intuition and choice and trust. And it is this ability to, there's the fear in the transition, but also having a deep knowing that no matter what decision you make will be the best decision for you. But the fact it was reversed It's almost, there's some hesitancy in choosing. There's some hesitancy in really fully having this confidence of like, this is the choice I'm making. Let's go full speed ahead. It's almost like, okay, I feel a little bit unsettled maybe, or just not really fully confident in the path that you're going. And there might be some emotions coming up of confusion, lack of clarity of where it is you want to go, what your path is going to look like. And I think this card really is just telling you to trust in your deepest, highest knowing. Like you're wearing, well, not you, but the person in the card is wearing this white.
I'm actually wearing
Oh my gosh, it is you. He's wearing all white and the card is wearing all white. And like white is this healing energy, and it's knowing that whatever decision you make, wherever you go, I always say this, wherever you go, there you are. And you are so intuitive, such a healer, that keep trusting that, that no matter where you are in the world, you will shine your light. And so the reverse is just saying like, it's a message to come back to yourself, come back to your power. And I think ultimately that's been this message for you of reminding yourself to step into your power continuously, and knowing that whatever choice you make is totally the choice for you. And I mean, I was traveling for a long time before I went home, and it is a big transition how to integrate all of these things that you learn. I mean, even listening to this podcast, it might be like, okay, these are all great topics, but how the listener might be like, how do we integrate it? And it's just trusting that everything you learn, you can put it into practice as you go, and just reminding yourself of all of these things you've learned and sitting with how to integrate and using them in real time. I mean, it's all well and good to practice all this stuff here, but it's another thing to actually put it into practice in these situations, in these relationships that you have at home with your family, with the not knowing, with not having a plan to make money, like all these different things, right? So it's like, how do you actually just trust and really take all of these lessons and embody them? And when you do that, intuition will be like spot on with it.
Yeah, I really resonate with everything you said. Thank you so much. That was such a beautiful interpretation of this card. And again, it's so unreal, basically, like you're talking about the Empress and then pulling the Empress and me wearing all white and then pulling this card and even with the bandana.
Yeah, you have a bandana like, on your head that is like, yeah, it's representing the blindfold.
She's like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, such a beautiful interpretation. And I do resonate. There's been a lot of question marks for sure lately. Things that are moving and things that made me feel like, oh, am I doing the right thing by leaving? Should I not? Should I stay? Should I go? Should I come back? It's been a lot of like, quote unquote, doubt, I would say. So I do resonate a lot with what you said. And it's a very interesting card for sure. I do like how the two swords of the mind are crossed, and it's like, well, yeah, when the mind tries to decide between the two, how can I make the choice? And then it's like, well, I'm not using my physical eyes anymore. I'm using my third eye. I'm using my mind's eye. That's tapped into my intuition. So then how can I just decide without looking, basically? And it's so fascinating, this card being the second Sephiroth on the tree, Chokmah, and Chokmah is all about wisdom. And I find that a lot of the times it is about this when we have a choice to make, when we have a decision, it's like trusting that we are divinely guided at the level of the higher self. Yes. We have the wisdom, the inner wisdom to make the choice. And it is all about, that. It's also fascinating that I was doing these readings with the boys the last few days, and we were each asking each every one of us of what are we called to step into in the new year?
Mm-hmm.
And we each pulled one of the twos, like Two of Swords, Two of Wands, Two of Pentacles, Two of Cups. And we were like, wow. So now, like, again, going back to the threshold question, is like, yeah, this, how do you find that clarity and tap into the intuition to?
Well, I think this is a beautiful way to end, because it's everything we're talking about, of like making sure the mind and the heart are on the same page. Like, you made a decision with your heart, and now the mind is all over the place of like, well, is this the right decision? Is it not? Is it this? Is it that? And it's like coming back to the heart and being like, no, we made this decision from the heart place, and getting the mind to be on the same page of like, okay, this is what we're doing, and it's going to flow, and it's going to be okay. And talking to the fear. And yeah, so I think it really just embodies everything that we've covered today.
For sure. And it's been a beautiful journey. It's been a beautiful journey, this conversation, but also these months at the lake and this time that we spent together. Mm. And thank you so much for everything. Thank you for joining me on the space.
Thank you.
Thank you for the reading. And I want to close it with one cheeky question.
Ooh.
So you're someone that's very inspirational to me. So I want to ask you, in just a couple of words, what's your recipe for being unstoppable?
Ooh, I love that. What's your recipe for being unstoppable? That gives me, like, I get teary-eyed thinking about that question. Because for so long, I feel like I was trying to be someone I wasn't, to be liked and to people please. And it was the moment that I was like, I'm fully gonna just step into everything that I love, and dancing weird, singing loud, and just tapping into my energy and giving that to the world. And if people don't like me, that's okay. And the people that do like me, man, they're going to resonate with me. And
beautiful.
When I stepped into that confidence of just fully allowing myself to be myself and letting go and just trusting and surrendering and having that confidence that I'm on the right path and things are going to flow in, and I just have to find the gratitude for them and let the other things flow out. It's been such... That's been such a blessing. I truly do feel unstoppable when I'm being like my most highest authentic self. And that's my recipe, is just honestly just stripping back the layers so that you can step into who it is that you are, and finding the confidence in what you have to give.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I can't
wait
to go back and re-listen to this episode and take everything in, let everything sink. And wow, thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning into this episode. And I'm sending everyone much love.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a pleasure, such an honor. I love having conversations with you. So thanks for having me.
We'll keep stoking this fire.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
Thank you, everyone.